In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you'll get podcasting tips and advice from a very seasoned podcaster who has launched 3 shows and has been podcasting since 2017. Remember to join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com so you can keep learning about podcasting, get inspired, and stay motivated. I'm James, the host of Podcast Tactics. Thanks for listening. Let's get into it. Joining me at the mic is a veteran podcaster who has been named a top influential advisor by Investopedia, Andy Wong from Morristown, New Jersey. Andy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's great to be on. Thanks, James.
Well, I'm really excited to, you know, speak with you. I know you've got a lot of irons in the podcasting fire. Can you give us a rundown of everything that you're involved with?
Okay, I'll try to do that quickly. I definitely went down the podcasting rabbit hole. Started as a listener first, but came to, you know, be inspired and say, oh, I think I can do this myself. So 3.5 years ago, I launched the Inspired Money Podcast, which dovetails well into my day job as a financial advisor. So that's a show that I've been publishing weekly for about 183 episodes. Haven't skipped a beat there, but then I co-founded the Asian American Podcasters Association with my friend Lee Wehara. So also publish a AAP podcast for that organization, although it comes in fits and starts. We do it as we have time since we're all volunteers. But it's great having that association. And then I started a blog called Podcast Gym, which is kind of just a fun place for me to share some of my insights into trying to grow my Inspired Money show and just other things that I'm involved with. And then inevitably, I couldn't just have a blog about a podcast. I had to launch a podcast for Podcast Gym too. So I don't know, multiple shows, and I'm just having fun with it.
Well, I got to say, you know, when I saw your submission come in and I started, you know, digging into what you're up to, I was immediately admirable of everything that you're up to and what you've created, you know, for your life and for what you're up to with podcasting. Let's dive into the Inspired Money Podcast. Let's focus in on that. I believe that started in 2017. What are the origins of that show? How did that come about? You said you were a financial advisor. You are a financial advisor. So talk a little bit about the inception of that show.
Sure. I'm a financial advisor, part of a family business. So I work with my brother, and the firm was founded by my dad. So that's like our day jobs. And I just came to podcasting. I think I came to it a little bit late. I tell people that I'm post-serial, you know, there are the, like pre-serial and post-serial, that's a thing. And I came to podcasting post-serial. So I'm not one of the OGs of podcasting. But since I've been doing it consistently for a while, suddenly I'm like, I've been around for a while. But, you know, like I said, I was listening to podcasts, started with Serial, and then as episodes were coming out, and I was caught up, I was looking for other shows to listen to. And I just liked the medium of podcasting, and that instead of listening to morning drive radio, I could pick what I wanted to listen to on demand, you know, Netflix of audio. And being a business owner, I gravitated towards like business owner podcasts, marketing podcasts, entrepreneurial podcasts, and really just trying to learn things while driving to and from work. And I would say that I did that for maybe a year and a half, and then started thinking, I feel like I could launch my own show and kind of connect it to work and just make a go of it. I mean, it was sort of just like a fun creative thing. Figured that, you know, I could get a little like more exposure for our company. It's like you get more brand awareness. It's kind of a fun project to do. And I mean, podcasting is definitely a platform that allows me and allows others to speak to people that would not speak to me if not for the podcast. So
sure.
that part's fun. And I just feel like I learn something from every episode and conversation that I have. I do sincerely feel that podcasting makes me a better person because I'm learning. You know, like we're living the growth mindset as podcasters. We're learning from the conversations that we have. We're constantly trying to improve upon like becoming better interviewers. That's not something that I learned in school. And also all these skills as far as the tech, the hardware, editing, you know, you kind of learn a little bit of everything.
I want you to talk a little bit more about the Inspired Money podcast, because I feel like you're underselling it. I mean, it is a great show. It is really inspiring. And, you know, tell us, share more about what that show is about.
Thank you. Well, as a financial advisor, I wanted to create a show that was not dry and boring. I felt like there were a lot of blogs and YouTube and podcasts made by financial advisors that were just not fun to listen to. And I guess taking a tip from like a Tony Robbins, it's like, can I just bring like a positive slant to the topic of money? And can I talk to different guests each week? And it gives me a lot of space, right? I have a lot of leeway because I've talked to personal finance experts on the show, but I've also talked to actors, screenwriters. I talked to a former WWE wrestler. I just find that because all of us have to live with money, and I think that we can all do better with our money, myself included, like anyone can be a guest. And just to have those conversations, trying to understand like somebody's unique path to doing something that they enjoy. And I always say that inspired money, it can be making money or it could be giving money away. And those positive money stories, I hope that listeners will be inspired to take a look at their 401k statement and, you know, address their own finances, but sort of get some fun stories along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what makes it really accessible. I mean, you nailed it on the head. You know, talking about money can be a little dry, but you have a nice positive spin on it that really is about shifting people's mindset.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I've been learning. I mean, I think that I've learned that each of us come to the topic of money with like our own and different unique experiences, right? We tend to have either our own baggage or like a positive outlook on money. And everyone sort of grew up with a different relationship with money. And then was money a topic that was discussed openly at home or not? Or was it just like a secret? And, you know, with that as a starting point, I like just hearing the different stories and sharing that with listeners in hopes that we can all kind of adopt better and healthier practices because we learn that mindset is so important and perspective is important. So whether you have like a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset, it can make a big difference in how you view your own finances and how you plan accordingly, or, you know, the opposite side of that is try to ignore everything. And then I think usually good things don't happen when you just try to sweep it under the rug.
So I want to go back to when you started your podcast, Inspired Money. And you know, what really struck me, I went back and listened to your first episode. And what struck me was it was extremely well polished. Like, I mean, it was so well done. And I was thinking, had you done this before? What kind of resources did you use back then? You know, I mean, talk to us about like the beginnings of your podcast and how you started it.
Yeah, for me, there is a podcast called The Showrunner Podcast, which is hosted by Jared Morris and, shoot, I'm going to forget his name right now. Darn it. I hate it when that happens. So it's hosted by two guys who each hosted their own shows. And then they came together and basically have a podcast about podcasting, as well as sold a course. And I subscribed to that course. It was recommended to me by a friend. And that kind of helped me do like the prep work as far as kind of doing the research and thinking about how am I going to position my show within the business or personal finance space. It just had me thinking, like, what is it that I want my show to be? And they kind of talked about different formats of the show. Do you want to have an interview show? Do you want to have a solo show? And I opted for having an interview show. I don't know. I think getting started, like my first guest was Kimo West, who is a longtime guitarist for Weird Al, as you heard. And luckily for me, like Kimo is a friend of mine. So I kind of started close to home. And I recommend that people do that because it's just easier, right? I would say that I have to take a look, but out of my first 10 episodes, probably 6 or 7 of them I knew. And just you kind of build, it's like you start at home and then you just kind of start expanding your network or your circle. It's like a concentric circle is expanding and seeing what happens. But at the same time, I also wasn't shy to just cold email people and invite them because I think that my second guest, second or third, I think third, Gret Glier, who founded an app called DonorSee. I had no relationship with him. I had heard him on another podcast and I just loved his story. So I just emailed him and he responded right away. So I think that that's a good sort of mentality and approach to have because you never know who's going to say yes. So you kind of just cast your net. And I like having that blend, especially when you're first starting out. You ask friends, you ask friends of friends, you get those introductions. So I have those in the mix. And then you just randomly start sending emails out to people or trying to connect on social media because you never know who's going to accept your invitation.
Yeah. I mean, the power of the ask is powerful. I mean, just asking and putting yourself out there is, you know, it's a very powerful thing to do. And just having that expectation that, yeah, you know, it's a possibility, but also the no is also a possibility as well. You know, I mean, it's something that I've learned, you know, early on and, you know, I'm just embarking on this journey of podcasting. And so, you know, learning how to ask is something that I need to learn how to do. And so thanks for sharing that story because you never know who is going to say yes, but they won't say yes if you don't ask.
Yeah. So, and while it has popped back into my head, so I don't get in trouble with my friends, it's John Naster and Jared Morris who host the showrunner, but that's currently not being published. Unfortunately, they would publish and then they go on a break and then they published again. And now they've been on a break. I don't know if the show will come back, but
a little pod fade happening there, it sounds like.
Yeah, a little bit, because they have other shows and other projects that they're doing. It was always like an additional project, but those two guys were very helpful to me in guiding the way that my show started. And I don't know, still influences the way that I run my show today.
Can you think of a challenge or two that you ran into and, you know, how you were able to break through it?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for me, and it's a common problem for most podcasters, to the extent that I think it's a rite of passage, forgetting to hit record.
How many times did that happen to you?
How many times? That's probably happened 2 or 3 times to me. And then like I'll realize within 5 minutes and have to hit record. Within one of my first 10 episodes, it was a rare happening for me, but I actually had the guest come to my office and we recorded in the conference room in person. The majority, I would say like my first 50 episodes were all done remotely using Skype. But I knew this one guy and I really wanted to have him on the show. He's a retired Episcopal bishop, Bishop of Newark. And he's just an incredible guy. He wrote, I don't know how many books. He published many, many books. Was kind of a controversial guy in in organized religion in the Anglican Church, in that he was pro having women become priests. And then he was also, he also started ordaining openly gay priests, gay and lesbian priests. So there were many people who were not fans of his. So I just thought that he's a family friend of ours. He's a really, really interesting person. And I wanted to have him on this show. And it was fun because he grew up in the South as like a very poor kid. I think just with his mom. So like single parent home and didn't have a lot of money, and how that kind of shaped him to become a priest and a bishop. It's like, how did the money fit into that? That was fascinating. But in that interview, I forgot to hit record and I didn't say anything. I noticed that I had a mixer and I noticed that I had not hit record. And on the inside, I was having like a freak out, but I stayed calm on the exterior. I didn't say anything. And then at the end of the interview, I just told him I missed like 5 minutes at the beginning. Can I re-ask him the first question? So I recovered, but yeah, unfortunately, I think that's happened one or two other times.
At least you caught it, and you didn't. It didn't happen like after the guest had left, and you were like,
"Thank goodness!"
Oh, I forgot to hit record. That happened to me.
That would have been brutal to do the whole thing. Because I don't know about you, but like for me, even after over 180 interviews, I never really know if it was good until I listen back.
Yeah.
Because when I'm in the moment, I kind of get clues. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, this part is cool. This sounds good. But overall, I'm not really sure. Because after the fact, if someone asks me, like sometimes my wife will ask me, how did it go? And I'll say, I have no idea. I'm like, I think it went fine, but I don't know.
Had a great conversation. I know that.
Yeah. Not until I listen to the tape back do I really, really know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah. Well, Andy, let's talk about successes. How do you define success, for your podcast specifically? And what kind of successes have you achieved?
Well, I should never define success by downloads, but that's something that we all look at because we can. And, the advice is always don't look at downloads at all. But I do look, and it kind of does reinforce or encourage me to keep on going sometimes.
Sure.
But I would say that really success, because when I step back from the analytics and the downloads, I have told people that since I mentioned to you that I feel like I do learn something from every episode, and I feel like podcasting does make me a better person. Like I improve with each episode. Like I learned something and I can maybe apply something that I learned from a guest that will impact my life in a positive way. So I have told people that I think I would still do the podcast even if I had zero listeners. But a very good friend replied, well, then you shouldn't edit. You shouldn't edit your show. And I said, touche. I'm going to continue editing the show, and I want to create like a good listening experience for everybody. And I want to try to cut out some of the some of the some of the noise. Like a long pause that's not a dramatic pause can come out. But yeah, I think success is just really, can I create a better show next week than I did this week? And as long as I feel like I've made some kind of incremental improvement, it keeps me marching forward. And also just remain being stubborn about that. Like I'm stubbornly trying to achieve that goal, make the next episode better than the last. And I don't know where that will take me, but I keep hitting publish and keeping that in mind.
Well, let's get into an episode discussion, actually. I listened to actually quite a few of your shows. I started at the beginning. I listened to your trailer first, and that's where I was just like, wow. You had it put together from when you dropped the trailer. I mean, it was definitely well done. I'm in the middle of trying to put a trailer together, so I'm stealing stuff from you. You know, it was very inspiring. I listened to the Kimo West episode one. That was wonderful. One of the things that I picked up on that you do in your show is you are able to do, when you wrap the show, you say, coming up in the next episode, and then you tease the next episode, which is brilliant. And I don't know if I could plan that far ahead. I mean, I have, you know, interviews in the can that I'm editing, but I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, like, how, talk to us about that. How do you plan for that?
I really only did that in like the earlier episodes.
Oh, okay.
As time went on, I was not able to maintain that like planning and organization.
Okay.
It became like too much. It became too much effort to really pre-record and have episodes ready and have the next one so that I could tease it and include a clip. I like the idea of doing that, but yeah, the reality was that I was not able to keep that up.
Yeah. But that being said, I will say that you were amazingly consistent from your first episode to your most recent one that I listened to, which I think you released this morning, today, actually. In either case, it was, you know, within the last few days, but your intro is still solid. I mean, I think you're still using the same intro music that you used from the first one and the same voiceover as well. So, I mean, it's like, it's very, I hope that's not, you know, you're not taking that like, it's nothing's changed. It's great. It's nice and consistent as far as I'm concerned. It, you know, sets me up the way that it should be set up. It's a really well-written intro. Why would you change it? So
sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Like, I feel like in the early stages, I wasn't totally clear on what I wanted the show to be. I mean, I kind of knew, recorded that intro. The pro tip, if there is one, is to have a musician as your first guest, because Kimo West provided all that music to me. And that's why I thank him at the end of every episode. But that's always a recurring topic for podcasters. It's like, where do I get my music from so that it's royalty free and I'm not breaking copyright laws and going to get in trouble. So yeah, it's nice having a professional musician friend who can give you really good music. But no, I appreciate that. I think there has been consistency, and you know, I keep trying to like hone it a little bit. Like if you compare a recent episode today to the episodes from 2017, I think that the intros are tighter now. They tend to be shorter. And I don't know, for better or worse, my current thinking is that I like doing the longer intro when I started, but then today I'm like, let me just try to get straight to the interview and just give enough to introduce who the guest is, why are they credible, why does the listener want to listen, and then just get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you if there was something that you're doing now that you wished you did in the beginning. Is that an example of that? Is there another example that you would point out where it's like, oh, you know, like if had I known what I know now, I would do that back in 2017?
Yeah, I think like that's one example. And then for me, I don't know, when you asked your original question about challenges, it's like usually I talk too much in listening to the tape back. I'm like, I could have asked that question more efficiently. Like I didn't need to use so many words, and sometimes I'll cut that out. But even today, like I still do it, even though I know I'm getting better, but you know, that's my problem. And then also one of the things that I learned is that active listening is very difficult. And I don't tell my wife, but she's right. I'm not the best listener.
We'll cut that part out.
But being an interviewer, I do feel like that is one of the most important things, to be able to listen and be present and then be able to figure out like, where are you going to go next? But you do have to be listening. And when I listen to the tape back, sometimes there's stuff that I missed. I'm like, oh, I wasn't listening. I didn't hear that.
Do you feel like that's a factor of time, though? Like sometimes, you know, I'll listen to back to an interview while I'm editing, right? And I realize like, oh, that would have been a good question to ask at this point. And then I realize like, you know, it's a function of time. I mean, you know, we only have, you know, a compressed amount of time. I mean, I don't have 3 hours with you and I don't think you want to spend that much time with me yet. So, you know, I mean, I think we do our best. And anyway, I should shut up and let you answer that question.
No, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, sometimes there's not a right or wrong answer, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think my thinking today is that I try to get out of the way, like as host. I mean, everybody has a different approach. And what I like about interviewing is that I don't think that there's one right or wrong way. Everybody is going to have his or her own style. And once you kind of identify what that is, you just lean into it. You're like, this is me. This is how I'm going to do it. And I'm either going to attract listeners or repel them. I think that the best hosts do both. They attract listeners and they repel listeners. So sometimes it's better to have a strong, you know, belief or personality and to do things with conviction the way you want to do it, however that is. But yeah, my philosophy is that I want the guest to shine. I want to ask questions. You know, I think one of the hardest things in real time is that you're kind of editing in your head as you're going. You're trying to have a good conversation, but you're also thinking, what is it that my listener wants to hear? Because you're their proxy. Your audience can't ask the questions. That's why you're there. So you're kind of anticipating what is it that the audience wants to hear and trying to ask the question accordingly. So that's, you know, like that's why I feel like it's a balance. I'm trying to get out of the way. You want to have a little bit of yourself in there, but, you know, not too much.
What is it that you want people to get out of your podcast? Why should they listen to your show?
Well, I think that one of the most important things for podcasters is to identify who is their ideal listener, like who is their audience. And I think not being able to define that clearly for me, especially at the start, I used myself as like the listening avatar. I'm like, I just want to create a show that I like. And so with that in mind, even today, I'm trying to create a show where I learn something. And maybe it's about money, maybe it's about career, maybe it's about building a business. It doesn't have to be money related, but it's I guess, to some extent, it's just personal growth. It's like, what is there going to be a takeaway for me that I feel like I listened to the interview and I got something out of it? So that's my goal. If I can do that and an audience wants to tag along with me, that's kind of my approach. Like, I want to learn something and I hope that others will learn something too.
Well, you've been going at this for over 3 years now, by my math. Let's get into a time machine and go ahead 3 years from now. What are your hopes for your podcast?
Oh, gosh. Well, I hope that I can keep making a better show and we'll see if I can keep it up. You know, some days or some weeks are easier than others. And particularly, it's like taking a family vacation and taking a week or two off. Am I able to plan ahead so that I can get a few episodes in the can and have them ready to go? I have, you know, everybody's a little bit different. I have friends that have their podcasts like booked out and recorded like 6 months in advance. I've never been able to do that.
Wow.
At best, I've had maybe a month to a month and a half of interviews recorded. But then suddenly I'll find that, oh my gosh, I only have like one more episode. I have to start recording again. So I'm kind of like that. and even when I have a month of shows recorded, I have yet to record the intros, outros. I like to do a mid-roll. Like lately, I've been doing a mid-roll, which is like a money tip, which kind of brings in my company and my job so that I can have like a personal finance tip or a money tip sort of in the middle of the interview and break it up. So, you know, that's an experiment that I've done too. I think a lot of radio shows will have segments. You know, for me, if I'm doing a 45 to 60 minute interview, I can split it up. I can break it in half and just have like a short mid-roll in the middle where I can sort of say that my company is sponsoring the show and I can have a call to action. I can do a money tip. But I don't know. Now I've forgotten your original question.
What are your hopes for your podcast in the future?
Oh, hopes for the podcast. Yeah. I think just, you know, can I grow the show and continue to make it better? And I think it's always a fun ongoing game since we talked about making the ask for guests. And Amy Porterfield, who has a very popular podcast, she said a couple years ago that she has a mentor who encouraged her to fail 100 times a year or 25 times per quarter. And when I heard that, I was like, that's a really good idea. And I should incorporate that into my guest outreach, because a lot of the times you ask people and you don't get a response. Now, when I get a no, I'm excited because it's actually hard to get 25 no's every quarter. I have yet to hit that goal, but it does kind of gamify it and make it fun and encourage you to just keep asking more people, because if they say no, you get excited. It's like another hatch mark in my notebook. So I think that, you know, if I do this for another 3.5 years, it's like who will I get to talk to that I really had no expectation that I'd be able to talk to that person? And those things kind of come randomly. You know, you always aspire to talk to certain people. A lot of people have a bucket list of podcast guests that they want on the show. I don't know. Sometimes I prescribe to that. Other times it's kind of random. Like I watched Netflix. Oh, shoot. What's the... there's a documentary about... is it called Memory Games? It might be Memory Games. It's about the competitive memory competitions. And it's a documentary. I watched that, I think, last summer or something like that. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't know that there was competitive memory games and people who can memorize like a deck of cards. They just flip through it. And then all of a sudden they can do like, they can tell you the order of every single card. And they say that it's learned. It's not something that they were born with. So I immediately emailed two of the contestants on the show, and one of them responded right away and I had him on the show. So, you know, it's fun things like that. It's like, I didn't expect that I'd be talking to this guy. But having the podcast, I was able to.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And that's fun.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I know we're heading up on the kind of top end of our time here, and I do want to give you the opportunity to tell people where they can learn more about you and your podcasts that you are involved with.
Okay. Thank you so much, James. InspiredMoney.fm is where you can go to find my company. We help people with their financial planning and money management. You can listen to the Inspired Money podcast and all kinds of guests from Guy Kawasaki to WWE wrestler. So that's fun. Asian American Podcasters Association, if anyone's interested in learning about podcasting and wants to join a community. And then for all the podcasters out there, Podcast Gym, I don't publish as often as I should, but I do try to share insights into how to podcast better, how to grow a podcast. And it's a newsletter also that goes out every 2 weeks.
The name of the shows are Inspired Money Podcast Gym and Asian American Podcasters Podcast. Andy, thanks again. Best of luck to everything that you're involved with. I wish you continued success in the future.
Thank you. Same to you. Everybody out there, keep hitting publish, because that's where the magic happens.
Thanks again to Andy. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Andy and all of the podcasts he's launched throughout the years. And please share what you got out of my conversation by leaving a review on podchaser.com. You can find out how to do this in the show notes, and do let me know what you need from me to make this show even better for you.
and make sure you follow Podcast Tactics to keep learning more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.